When did you last get a prescription? Because prescriptions, the medications you can't just get over the counter, are now a central part of our lives, whether it's treatment for a long-term medical condition or a course of antibiotics. But new research shows around one in three, just over that actually, has an error. My first guest today has been looking closely at what can go wrong. Ken Lee is a second-generation pharmacist, and his book, How Safe Is Your Prescription?, will be launched this week at the annual Pharmacy Professional Conference on the Gold Coast. And he's with me in the Life Matters studio. Hello, Ken.
Morning.
It's a disconcerting title. How safe are our prescriptions?
That's a good question, Richard. We, through our studies here in Australia and looking at the overseas evidence, pose quite an interesting question. We studied 21,000 prescriptions, or just over that, and found that in one in three cases there was some sort of error. So it's quite a large sample, and the overseas evidence also backs up that that there are significant problems with prescriptions.
21,000. How did you do that?
We created a program. It actually started from the solution first, if you like. We always knew that pharmacists added value, and we created a program called ChemConsult, which is effectively a prescription safety checking system, which detects and prevents errors.
It's software.
It's a bit of software. Mm. And we trialled that in 20 pharmacies over a year to see what sort of interventions we'd pick up, and that's how we came across that that number of 21,000.
And how does ChemConsult work then?
Well, ChemConsult, quite simply, is a check of the prescription itself against the patient's medical history, and we take a few questions around that, and it also then cross-checks that against the drug monograph. So what should be prescribed and what should be given, and then it collates all that data and spits out, if you like, what should be done, whether it's dosing or whether there's a potential problem with drug interactions, and it also advises patients on things like side effects and whether to take it with food or alcohol.
So it makes for a much more engaged consultation, if you like.
Correct. A much more engaged and thorough consultation system.
Now, as you mentioned, you developed this. It took you a while, I understand. So a skeptic might say, isn't this book, aren't you just pushing your own barrow here?
Well, skeptics might say that, but the evidence is not just my own evidence in the book. It's also the overseas evidence, which shows, for example, in America, that medication-related deaths now is the biggest killer. Mm. It's larger than all cancers put together. Over 800,000 deaths a year in America due to
800,000.
Correct, and that's the equivalent of 6 jumbo jets crashing every day, Richard. So it's a serious problem. The astounding thing,
I guess,
thing,
a lot of those are going to be in hospital, aren't they, rather than get a script over, you know, from your chemist and go home and take the wrong thing.
Well, a lot of that is hospital admissions, which emanates from the community. So a lot of the studies show that people are ending up in hospitals. For example, 6% of all hospital admissions in Australia are due to side effects. So it's actually emanating from the community, going back into hospital.
Right.
And it's a preventable problem. So that's the big issue, I think, is that it's 50% preventable, we believe, through various studies around the world. And so there's an onus to fix it.
Could be saving a lot of lives.
We could be saving a lot of lives.
All right. What can go wrong? I guess the obvious things are doses.
The top three things are dosing, whether that's underdosing and the patient doesn't get better at all, or overdosing situations. Then there's drug interactions between drugs, and there's side effects. So they're the three big things that can go wrong.
Right. I guess there's more as well. But in the book, it's interesting, you set out about 10 exactly case studies. And, well, let's talk about a few of them, because I think it's helpful. Examples make people understand this.
Sure.
There's the case of the young child whose allergy to an antibiotic was discovered really just in time. Now, it wasn't exactly the antibiotic that she had the script for, but it was fairly related, wasn't it?
Yeah, what happens with in that particular case is there are things that are in drug monographs which show up. So if you were to go and use the internet, for example, and you were looking up penicillins and you were allergic to penicillins, there are related drugs that will also interact with penicillins. So in that particular case, child's given a related drug, Keflex, and you know, child gets a or has a potential allergy to that drug, and that doesn't necessarily show up in drug monographs as well. So there's some human interaction as well, which helps pick up things like that.
Right. So this is an example of a drug that's in the that is related. It's sort of in the same family.
Correct. It's in the same family.
And it's just it's a matter of knowing that.
Correct. It's a matter of the pharmacist picking that up and knowing that. Yep.
Yeah. There's also another case. This is interesting to me because this guy, well, this chap, he may have had a heart attack because he stopped taking his medication.
Correct. Some people, particularly those on cholesterol medications, don't feel any benefit from the medication, Richard, and that's the problem. And then they think they feel better.
Yep.
And they stop taking the medication. Then that might go on for 6 months without an issue. Then, you know, come 12, 18 months down the track, they have a heart attack. That can be prevented through obviously just simply staying on that medication.
Mm. That's quite a hard thing for... I mean, a pharmacist can have that conversation, but you can't be there every day to make sure takes it.
That is true. There are things like Webster packing systems and different systems to help that.
On Life Matters today, we are talking about the idea of, I suppose, errors in prescriptions. We've got Ken Lee with us. He's a second-generation pharmacist. He's done some work on this. And, well, his research shows that it's over 33%. So over a third of all prescriptions there's an error in. Now, I guess most of them aren't going to cause you a problem, but some of them may be extremely serious. And we are talking about a few of them now. There's almost, I think it's the first one you mention in the book, the young girl who needed something for tonsillitis, and her mum actually handed over a prescription for a very powerful sedative. How did that happen?
That's a good question. In that case... the doctor was very busy. It was a computer-generated script, so it wasn't a handwritten prescription. And you'd
think, a lot of them are computer-generated. Yeah, well, nowadays,
nowadays they are. I'm going back probably 6 years when I dispensed this particular prescription, and so it was a computer-generated script. You think no problems, and it was for a barbiturate drug actually, and the doses were very, very high. I mean, they were off the scale, three times what you'd give to an adult. For a child, I think the child was around 11 years old, and simply picking that up and saying, asking the question, is this the right drug for you and for your condition, you know, yielded that...
Hey, so you actually said, why do you think you've been given this, essentially?
Why does an 11-year-old need a barbiturate?
Yeah.
You know, 11-year-old generally doesn't need a barbiturate. So it was supposed to be a antibiotic, and the doctor simply just... quickly looked at the screen and highlighted the wrong drug.
Right, because they were fairly near one another alphabetically.
Correct. Alphabetically, they were on top of one another, correct.
And what would have happened if she'd taken that?
Oh, she would have died, I'd say. I'd say that Lemira would have died.
Right. And you can imagine that just the sheer number of prescriptions written in say, the Western world, in the rich countries of the world, means this is going to happen every day. And in fact... every day somebody's going to just make a mistake like that, and somebody may die or nearly die unless the pharmacist is really attentive.
I believe so. I think the pharmacist is an underutilised resource in the community.
Yeah. I'll ask you about another one, and then we'll talk a bit more about some of the issues that come out of that. There's essentially a case in the book, which is really a warning to everybody who drinks alcohol. Don't drink too much. And this came back to the fact that this person was on blood pressure medication.
Yeah, yeah. For those who like a bit of a drink, we had a case where a gentleman was drinking quite a bit over summer and reduced his blood pressure. Well, he was very dizzy, thought he had fixed his blood pressure issues because it had temporarily dropped. And he thought that he didn't need his blood pressure medication anymore. So there are simple cases like that as well, which can lead to dire consequences as well.
Now, Ken, I'm thinking in the old days, if you can imagine, and certainly when I was a kid, basically you probably went to your GP and then you came out of your GP and you went to the chemist who was next door or around the corner or something, and you went there all the time. Your family went there, and your family would know the pharmacist. The pharmacist would know your family, and there was a relationship there. And obviously there are better pharmacists and worse ones, but at least they knew you and they knew the family and they had an idea of the history. We don't. I mean, we still have that. Some of us still have that. We always go to the same one. But there's also pharmacists who are nearer work, pharmacists that are nearer home. There are ones that offer cheap deals, so you think, I'll go there and I'll get that. All of our information, and certainly the stuff that's just in a pharmacist's head about us, is not all in the same place anymore.
That's right. That's right. And what we've tried to do with ChemConsult and Health Information Pharmacies is to create a network of pharmacies, so no matter which pharmacy you go to, we'll know your history, and also that there is a system for detecting, preventing errors. So I think that's important, using technology better.
Yeah. What about the e-health initiative? The government's been banging on about this for quite a long time. We've done a few stories about it here. If it ever gets delivered, and obviously there are big implementation problems with this, will that make a difference?
I've been waiting for it for a long time, Richard. I think now it's hopefully around the corner. It's yet to be seen whether or not it'll make a difference. I think really it's targeted towards a lot of medicos and doctors, whereas what we're saying is that pharmacists really need to be involved in that process and get more involved in safety checking.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, from a personal point of view, I don't think it's really going to help from a pharmacy perspective solve those issues.
I was thinking just beforehand my own interactions. I tend to ask a question or two with the kids' medications, especially if it's something they haven't had before. I tend to be a bit engaged. But for me, I'm probably like many people. I'm in a hurry. There's always something else that I need to be doing. So I tend not to ask questions, and it tends to be the pharmacist who talks to me.
Yes.
I'm guessing I'm fairly normal. Most of us aren't asking questions, are we?
Well, that's true. But in reality, the consumers don't exactly know which questions to ask, and you're sort of asking maybe the ones that you think are most obvious, like dosing and food and questions like that, but there's a lot more to know than just those two questions, and that's why I think checklists like we're providing in the book help ensure that there's a thorough questioning process. Whether that's delivered by the patient or whether that's delivered by the pharmacist, at least you're getting all those 10 questions answered.
Yeah, there are 10 questions, as Ken says, and they cover things like medication history, drug interactions, side effects, before or after food, how should you store it, because how you store it makes a difference, alcohol, how long, what else, those sorts of things. Ken, thanks very much for coming in today.
Thank you, Richard.
Ken Lee's a second-generation pharmacist, and he's also the author of How Safe Is Your Prescription? It's launched later this week, as you heard, and it will be published by Book Pal. If you've got a story, actually, of the wrong script or something that went wrong, do get in touch, abc.net.au/rn/lifematters. You can find us on Facebook very easily as well, or you can always give us a ring, 02-833-1430. This is Life Matters on ABC Radio National. I'm Richard Ady, and next, how our connecting technologies may actually be alienating us.